Being Sefer Tehillim, this is Shir number 71. We are using the commentary of Am Loez. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our over 500 Torah Shiurim online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. Also, may the learning of Torah be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 132, pasuk 1. Shir Hamalos Zechor Hashem the David is Kol Unosum. A song of accents, Lord, remember to David all his affliction. David composed the present psalm when he built the altar on the threshing floor of Arovna the Jebusite, as instructed by the prophet God, as found in Shmuel Beis. There he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings, and he called to Hashem, who answered him with a fire from heaven upon the altar of the burnt offering, as found in Divrei HaYamim. David said on the occasion, this is the house of Hashem God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. Until that time, the site for the Beis HaMikdash was unknown. Earlier, the prophet Nathan had informed him that not he, but his own son Shlomo, would actually build the Beis HaMikdash. David suffered and toiled much to prepare everything required for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. Thus, he says here, Hashem, remember to David all his afflictions. May my thought to build the Beis HaMikdash be seen before you as if I had done so. In the following psukim, he goes on to describe his sufferings. David deliberately speaks of affliction as he said, now behold, in my affliction I have prepared for the house of Hashem 100,000 talents of gold, as found in Divrei HaYamim, for he went to great trouble to amass the gold and silver for building the sanctuary. Another possibility is that David composed this psalm while sitting together with the elders dressed in sackcloth in the days when the plague was rampant, as found in Divrei HaYamim. The location of the future Beis HaMikdash was not yet known to him, and so he could not sacrifice the offerings that might halt the epidemic. Pasuk 2. Asher nishba lav Hashem, nodar laver Yaakov. How he swore to Hashem and vowed to the Mighty One of Yaakov. Having mentioned his affliction, David depicts his labors in preparation for building the Beis HaMikdash. At the outset, he swore and vowed to dedicate himself to the task. As he said, I have sworn and will fulfill it. He made his vow to Hashem, the Mighty One of Yaakov. He does not say the Mighty One of Avram or the Mighty One of Yitzchak, for Yaakov was chiefly the one who made vows. Pasuk 3. Im avo be'ohel beisi im ele al eres yitzu'oi. Surely I will not come into the tent of my house, nor go upon the bed that is spread for me. He vowed not to come into the tent of my house with a cedarwood roof, as he said, see now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of Hashem dwells within the curtain. This is found in Shmuel Beis. He also swore not to go upon the bed that is spread for me. It is customary for kings to repose on beds upholstered with Egyptian fabrics, but he vowed to lie in the simple bed. Or else he means, I will not go upon my bed at all, but sleep supported by my arms. Some explain that this refers to the tents used by kings in the summertime when they leave their palaces. These tents were set among the trees for the king's enjoyment. Pasuk 4. Im etain shenas le'enoi la'afa paitanumo. If I will give sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyelids. David also swore that he would not give sleep to my eyes, sleep regularly. He would only sleep in snatches. Give slumber to my eyelids, or else means that he swore to forego sleep in the afternoon. Another interpretation says he would not make preparations for going to sleep, but allow sleep to overtake him. That is, he would not have slept at all, except for the fact that a human being cannot keep going without sleep. Pasuk 5. Ad emsa mokum la'ashem mishkanus la'avir Yaakov. Until I find a place for Hashem, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Yaakov. I took all this trouble and suffering, said David, till they find a place for Hashem, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Yaakov. Hashem is the Mighty One of Yaakov. For Yaakov said, how awesome is this place? There is no other than the house of Hashem. Although Yaakov said it about Mount Moriah, David did not know the exact location. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Hinei shemanuha be'aflasa mitzanuha b'stei yo'ar. Lo, we heard of it as being in Ephrat. We found it in a forested field. David relates that in the end, after he had undergone all that suffering, Hashem made known to him the site of the holy Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash would stand on the threshing floor of Aravna, the Yebusite, as found in Divrei Yomim on Mount Moriah. There he saw the angel of Hashem standing with a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Yerushalayim, and Hashem commanded him to sacrifice burnt offerings at that site. Whereupon David said, this is the house of Hashem, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Klal Yisrael. Thus David says here, at the outset we heard of it, the site of the sanctuary, as being in Ephrat, which is Beis Lechem, as it says, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrat, that is Beis Lechem. Beis Lechem was called Ephrat because it was abundant in fruit, because it had plentiful fruit for the masses of the future pilgrims. It was thought to be a proper site for the Beis HaMikdash. In the end, however, we saw that this was not the right place, says David. Instead, we found it in the forested field, that is, the threshing floor of Aravna the Yebusite. Literally, the pasuk says, lo, we heard of her as being in Ephrat. We found her in the forested field. The feminine form refers to the Shekhinah of glory found there. Some explain we heard it in Ephrat with reference to the book of Yeshua. Yeshua was one of the tribes of Ephraim. There's indicated that the Beis HaMikdash was to be located at the height of the world. Thus in the case of all other tribes it says, and the border went out. But in the case of the tribe of Yehud it says, and the border went up to the south of the Yebusite. This is a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshua. A subtle interpretation says, a man, every action, even eating and sleeping, must be performed with but a single purpose, to act for the sake of heaven. That is what David says here, how he swore to Hashem and vowed to the Mighty One of Yaakov, surely I will not come into the tent of my house, nor go upon the bed that is spread for me. I will not give sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyelids, all this until I find a place for Hashem, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Yaakov. Pasuk 7. Nevoa l'mishkanosav nishtachav l'adom raglav. We will go into his dwelling place, we will prostrate ourselves at his footstool. Now that the site of the Beis HaMikdash is revealed and known, we will go into his dwelling place, we will prostrate ourselves at his footstool. Although that is a greatly acclaimed occasion in relation to the glory of Hashem, it is described as his footstool. In comparison, the heavens are called the throne of Hashem, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk 8, Kumba Hashem v'nuchasecha, ato v'aron uzecha. Arise, O Hashem, to your resting place, you in the ark of your strength. Now David asked of Hashem that he rise from all the other places where he rested his presence in the past, and rest his presence in his permanent resting place. For all those other places were a temporary home, but the dwelling place in Yerushalayim is called a permanent dwelling, an eternal home. He also pleads that God help him build the house of Hashem as your resting place. On that occasion, David is standing in Gibeon, as it says in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. You and the ark of your strength, for the divine presence rested upon the ark of the law. Pasuk 9. Kohanecha yilbishu tzedek v'chasidecha yiraneinu. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saintly ones praise with song. Then will your priests be clothed with righteousness, for the loftiness of the place and its sanctity will add to their saintliness. And let your saintly ones, the Levites, chanting upon the platform, then praise with song. Another interpretation says, honesty and righteousness will then be their garments, and their service will thus be welcome to Hashem. Pasuk 10. For the sake of David, your servant, do not turn away the face of your anointed. He already knew that he himself would not be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. So David pleads on behalf of his son Shlomo to actually build it. For the sake of David, your servant, and the merit that I am your servant, do not turn away the face of your anointed, Shlomo, empty-handed. Let him be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, as you promised me in Shmuel Beis. David feared lest Shlomo's sins cause him to forfeit the privilege to build the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, he pleaded, let my own merit stand on behalf of my son Shlomo, who is your anointed to reign after me. Shlomo was anointed as king during the lifetime of David, after Adonijo exalted himself to be king, as we find in Malachim Aleph, Pasuk 11. Nishba Hashem the David emes lo yoshuv mimeno mipri vitnecho oshiz lechisei lach. Hashem swore to David in truth, he will not turn back from it. Of the fruit of your body will I set upon your throne. Hashem responds to David's plea and says, the Lord swore to David in truth, he will not turn back from it, having sworn an unconditional oath to David, that of the fruit of your body will I set upon your throne. He will absolutely set Shlomo upon the throne. Hence, when Hashem heard David express his intention to build the Beis HaMikdash, he at once dispatched the prophet Nathan to him, informed him that not he, but his son Shlomo, will build the Beis HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. And Yishmu v'nechob berisi v'eidosi zo alamdem gam b'nehem adei ad yeshu l'chiselach. If your children keep my covenant and my testimony that I will teach them, their children will also forever sit upon your throne. As for your grandchildren, if they keep my covenant that I establish in Horeb and my testimony, then not only will they sit upon your throne, but their children will also forever sit upon your throne. Therefore was the throne of Rehoboam, son of Shlomo, diminished, and he only reigned over the tribes of Yehuda and Benjamin. Pasuk 13. Kivocha Hashem betzion ivo lemoshe lo. For Hashem has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his habitation. Regarding your petition, arise, O Hashem, to your resting place. Know that Hashem has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his habitation. On this side, therefore, will thus surely rise the house of my resting place. Pasuk 14. Zos menuchasi adei ad po eshev ki evisiho. This is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will not exchange this place for another. Zion is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it, even in its destruction. Our sages teach, which is his place of rest? That is Shiloh. Which is his inheritance? That is Yerushalayim. Thus it says in Chumash Devarim, for you are not yet to come to the rest and to the inheritance. It also says, the painted eyed bird is my inheritance, a pasuk found in Yirmiyahu. And it says, my heritage has become to me like a lion in the forest. Reb Shimon says, inheritance, that is Shiloh. Rest, that is Yerushalayim. Thus it says, for Hashem has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his habitation. And it says, this is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell. For I have desired it in the academy of Rabbi Shmuel, it was taught. That and also that is Shiloh. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, that and also that is Yerushalayim. Notwithstanding that the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain you, how much less this house that I built, as we find this in Malachim Aleph. It is Hashem's will that there he would rest his Shekhinah, as it says, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell within them. A pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. Hence the Torah says, this is my resting place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have so desired it. The letters Aleph, Shin, Beis correspond to the first letters of Imunah, Simcha, Betochat, faith, joy, and trust. The same letters also correspond to the first letters of Oyel, Shichon B'Adam, a tent he set up as a dwelling in man. This accords with this is my resting place forever. Also in its destruction, when the Beis HaMikdash, the sanctuary in Shalim, is destroyed, the Shechinah, the divine presence, still dwells in the sanctuary within the human being. Pasuk 15. Seido Borech Avorech Evyoneha Aspia Lochem. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will give her needy bread in plenty. I will abundantly bless her provision when the great masses of the people come to Hashem's sanctuary on Mount Moriah. Hashem will send great blessing and the provisions to adequately provide for all the pilgrims. I will give her needy bread in plenty. Those who at first were needy paupers, I will now satisfy with abundant nourishment. I will not bless them with silver and gold to burden their minds with worry, but grant them enough provisions for the long journey. I will give her needy bread in plenty, but I will not give them luxuries. Corresponding to Yaakov having said, if Hashem will give me bread to eat, Hashem says here, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will give her needy bread in plenty. Corresponding to, and to clothing to wear, it says, her priest also will I clothe with deliverance. It's in the next pasuk. We're going to learn this. And her sainted ones will greatly praise with song for the building of the Beis Hamikdash and for all those good things. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Pasuk 16. V'chohaneha albish yesha v'chasideha ranin yoraneinu. Her priests also will I clothe with deliverance, and her saintly ones will greatly praise with song. And respond to David's plea, let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Hashem says, I will also do that. Her priests also will I clothe with deliverance, which is greater than righteousness, for this includes both physical and spiritual deliverance. In response to his plea, and let your saintly ones praise with song, he says, and her saintly ones will greatly praise with song. They will sing a double measure of song of praise. A subtle interpretation says, when, as at present, the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed and there are no priestly garments, the saintly ones of the generation are punished for the sins of the generation as atonement for it. But in the future, your priests will be clothed with righteousness, and the priestly garments will effect atonement. Then her saintly ones will greatly praise with song. They will no longer be punished for the sins of the generation. Regarding the pasuk, you eat, but you do not have enough. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. Pasuk found in Haggai, our sages have taught, by the abolition of libations on the altar, food does not save us. And by the abolition of priestly garments, clothes do not warm us. Accordingly, the Torah teaches here that in the future I will abundantly bless her provision. I will give her needy bread in plenty. Her priests also will I clothe with deliverance, and the saintly ones will greatly praise with song. If there is the divine service in the Beis Hamikdash, there is bread and warm garments. Pasuk 17. Sham asmiach keren ledavid urachti ner lemshichi. There will I cause pride, a horn to sprout for David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. This will I also do. There in the time of resting will I cause pride to sprout for David. The pride of strength and might is here figuratively called a horn, since the might of the ox is its horns. Similarly it says, on that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to sprout. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yecheskel. Solomon's kingship is depicted here as the sprouting of the horn. For I have already prepared a lamp for my anointed by my promise that he would reign. There will I cause pride to sprout for David, as in the beginning I will not choose another tribe for kingship, but cause pride to sprout for David. From the beginning I have prepared a lamp for my anointed, that the dynasty of David would continue forever. Our sages teach, because David was anointed with a horn of oil, his kingship continues. The anointing oil traced a kind of crown on his head. Hence it says, there will I cause pride to sprout for David. Out of David will be uplifted the pride, the horn of the Mashiach. Upon himself will his crown shine. The crown fit only those who qualified for kingship. These matters may be clarified by means of a parable. At the wedding of his son, a man arranged for two tables to be set. One was reserved for dignitaries and other important folk, and it was set with precious eating utensils. The second table was for the rest of the people, and it was set with expensive glass dishes, which, however, were less precious than the silver and gold dishes on the first table. Heading the list of his invited guests was the rabbi of the community, who arrived late. When the host saw that the upper table was by now too densely occupied to permit comfortable seating, he and the bridegroom betook themselves to the second table, and there they also seated the rabbi. At the same time, he also switched the dishes. Analogously, in the beginning, the tabernacle and the Shekhinah were located at Shiloh. When David was anointed for kingship, he exposed himself to great danger for the sake of Yerushalayim until he brought it under his control and established his throne there. Whereupon the Lord chose Zion, he desired it for his habitation. The pasuk that we already learned. He abundantly blessed her provision and gave her needy bread in plenty. There too he will thus cause pride to sprout for David, and there he will prepare a lamp for my anointed. The splendor of the Mashiach will become manifest there, and the pride of his might will be acknowledged by all. David will be hailed for having conquered Yerushalayim to make it the royal capital of his kingdom. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. The first four letters of the word Mashiachi are the first letters of Mila, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Hanukkah, and the last letter Yud hints at kingship. The numerical value of the name of this letter, Yud, is 20. This number corresponds to 7 candles are lit on the Shabbos, 5 on the Yontif, and 8 on Hanukkah. There is no set number of candles at the circumcision ceremony because the enemies of Israel wanted to abolish these festive occasions of the Jewish people. The singer goes on to say, his enemies were like clothed with shame, but upon him will his crown shine. As we're going to learn right now in this pasuk Yudches, pasuk 18. Oyavav Albish Boshes V'Olav Yotzis Nizrov. His enemies were like clothed with shame, but upon him will his crown shine. The Torah now explains the meaning of I will cause pride, a horn to sprout for David. That is, his enemies were like clothed with shame. David will inflict upon his enemies the humiliation of defeat, but upon him will his crown shine. Yatzitz, upon the Mashiach will sparkle and shine the crown. The crown of his God will be on his head, or else it means literally that he will flourish as in Israel will blossom Yatzitz and bud, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Another possible interpretation of the present psukim says that after Hashem will have responded in full to all of David's requests, he will bestow 4 other good things upon him. There will I cause pride to sprout for David, refers to the time when the ark was being brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Although initially the temple doors closed one upon the other, they then opened at the merit of David after Solomon said, for the sake of David, your servant, do not turn away the face of your anointed. A lamp for my anointed refers to the western lights of the Beis HaMikdash, which in the days of Shlomo was never extinguished. A third boon was that all of Shlomo's enemies made peace with him. Fourthly, upon him will his crown shine. His fame spread all over the world. Chapter 133, Pasuk 1. Shir ha-malos le-David, hinei matov u-manoim sheves achim gam yochad. A song of accents of David, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Having spoken about building the Beis HaMikdash in the previous parak, David now speaks of the love and brotherliness among the Kohanim, the priests who serve Hashem in the sanctuary. He begins by declaring, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. How good it is that when they dwell together, their hearts are also together. Compare those who, on the contrary, speak peacefully to their neighbors with their mouths, but in their hearts they lie in wait for them. As we find this in Yirmiyahu. Literally, the pasuk says, to dwell also together. This indicates that the souls were also together in the world of souls, as it says in Mishlei, for better is a neighbor who's near than a brother far off. This depends on the root of their souls. Thus, at times, the souls of two brothers are far apart, and there is strife between them, and the opposite holds true for a neighbor who's close. That is the intent of also together. They were born to the same father and mother, and their souls too were together in the world of souls. Two Torah scholars who draw nourishment from the same source on high will be envious of one another, for each one wants to draw more for himself. thus they become alienated from one another, and it is then better for them to be physically separated. By contrast here, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell also together. Notwithstanding that they dwell together, love and brotherliness rule between them. This indicates a quality of excellence. Sometimes peace reigns among men because they are far apart and so avoid envy, hatred, and competition. It is otherwise when they are in close proximity. As our sages teach, Hashem lifts up his countenance to you, face you, and gives you peace, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. Not to be compared is one who greets his fellow man when facing him to one who greets him from the side. A subtle interpretation says, if brothers conduct themselves with humility towards one another, then how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. It is otherwise if they each stand on their pride. Thus, the Chovos HaLevavos writes that in a proper social order, every person is required to show concern for others. By analogy, he considers a caravan embarked on a distant journey. If everyone is concerned for everyone else, ready at any time to help with the loading and the unloading, they will all reach their destination in peace. It is otherwise if each one is concerned for himself alone. In the Tana Devei Yo, it says, if a man has performed good deeds in his youth, and in his old age he doubled his good deeds, the Torah says about him, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. The same person in his old age is not in conflict with the person he was in his youth. Another thing, if in his youth a man has read in the Torah, in the prophets, and in the writings, and in his old age has contained his good deeds and studied Mishnah, Medrash, Halachas, and Haggadahs, of him the Torah says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Another thing, if a man sits down to study with another, the Torah says about them both, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to sit together. Another thing, if two brothers in the same house study the oral law together, and read in the Torah together, and are happy with one another, eating and drinking together, the Torah says about them, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. In the foregoing psalm, the singer spoke of the excellence of Shlaim, that Hashem has chosen Zion. He also mentioned the excellence of the Holy Beis Hamikdash, the Holy Temple, and the kingship of the House of David. Now he speaks of the excellence of the people of Israel when they are united and dwell in their own land. Indeed, that Israel endures when there is love and brotherliness among them. Thus he says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. The people of Israel are called brothers, as it says in Bereishis, your servants are 12, we are brothers. When the people of Israel dwell in their own land, the fruit is good, as it says, but you, O mountains of Israel, you shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yechezkel. How good and how pleasant. A thing may be good, but not pleasant. For instance, a medicine. And the thing may be pleasant, but not good. For instance, upright, unripe fruit. But when Israel dwells together, both kinds of perfection are present. This is both good and pleasant. Just as they are brothers by birth, so are they brothers in brotherliness. One Jew does not regard himself as superior to another. Two brothers may nurse together from the breast of their mother, yet be different in their ways. One becomes a Talmud Chacham with a single-minded passion for Torah study, and the other is in the rambus concerned with worldly matters. But when both are brothers by birth and in what they do, that is truly good and pleasant. Our sages expound the following pasuk in accordance with this state of affairs. The Torah says, if only you were a brother to me, who nursed at my mother's bosom, a pasuk that's found in Shir HaShirim. He is a brother both in his views and having nursed from his mother's bosom. If they grew up in this manner at their mother's bosom, then when I would find you outside, I would kiss you, and no one would despise me. Anyone who saw us would agree that this was true love. That is what the singer says here. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together, for they are brothers and they are united in their way of life. Some explain that David composed the present psalm after the kingdom of Shaul united with the kingdom of David upon the death of Mephibosheth, as found in Shmuel Beis. all the elders of Israel came to David and anointed him king over Israel. That was when David declared, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together." The Torah thus goes on to say, it is like the precious oil upon the head that is also coming down upon the beard, and that comes down to the reach of his garments. How commendable that a single king now brought well-being to everyone. What is more, like the dew of Hermon that comes down upon the mountains of Zion, great plenty descended upon all of Israel under the one king. Pasuk 2. Hashemet hatov al harosh yored al hazakan zakan aharon sheyored al pi midosa. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard of Aaron that comes down to the reach of his garments. Having said how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together, the singer likens the pleasant companionship among the Kohanim priests to precious oil upon the head. He refers to Aaron's anointment as high priest, the oil of anointment coming down upon the beard of Aaron that comes down to the reach of his garments. The oil trickled down from his head to his beard, and from his beard upon the garments about his neck. Medrash explains the repeated mention of beard. Did then Aaron have two beards? Rather, the beard of Aaron also alludes to Moshe's beard. When Moshe saw Aaron being anointed with the oil of anointment, the oil coming down upon the beard of Aaron, he rejoiced as if it were his own beard. For Aaron was worthy of this on account of his good qualities, the garments of his personality. Indeed, earlier he had not been envious of Moshe, but rejoiced for him, as found in Chumash Shemos. The singer has spoken of the Mashiach, the priesthood, and the Levi. In the future, the crown of righteousness will be worn by the Kohanim, the priests, the crown of the Torah by the Levites, who will greatly praise with song. And Zion will bear a good name. In the present psalm, he says, how good and how pleasant, that these crowns will then be all together in the Beis HaMikdash. Thus, like the precious oil, alludes to the crown of kingship of the Mashiach, when anointed with the oil, the crown of priesthood is like the precious oil coming down upon the beard of Aaron, and corresponding to the crown of Torah, it says, like oil that comes down to the reach of his garments. This refers to the qualities of excellence, garments of the soul of the man of Torah. Regarding the crown of a good name, the singer says that it is like the dew of Hermon. Our sages teach the oil of anointment was suspended from Aaron's beard like two pearly drops, said Rabbi Papa. When he cut his hair, the two drops would extend and settle in the thick of his beard. Since at different times these two drops would thus be located either on top or the end of his beard. Accordingly, it says twice, the beard and the beard of Aaron. Others say that Aaron merited being anointed because he examined the defiling skin eruptions of those afflicted by tzaras, whom he then purified with oil from a jug. This is indicated in the Masorah Concordance, which refers to three instances of beard in the Torah. It says the tzaras of the head or beard, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. It says here upon the beard of Aaron, and it says, and it'll also sweep away the beard, a pasuk found in Sefer Yeshayahu, which conveys they were stricken by the plague of tzaras. Pasuk 3. Ketal Hermon sheyored al harei Tzion kisham tzivah Hashem esabrocha chayim ad olam. Like the dew of Hermon, like the dew that comes down upon the mountains of Zion, for there Hashem commanded the blessing life forever. The singer now employs another image to depict how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. Their comradey is like the dew of Hermon, like the dew that comes down upon the mountain of Zion. Thus the word dew is as if repeated. Two brothers dwell together. When there is brotherliness among the Jewish people in the land of Israel, the result is there in the mountains of Zion, Hashem commanded the blessing, life forever. Another reading says, like the dew of Hermon that should properly come down upon the mountains of Zion. corresponding to how good, the singer says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, and corresponding to how pleasant, he says, like the dew of Hermon that comes down upon the mountains of Zion, for there Hashem commanded the blessing, life forever. For there Hashem commanded the blessing, Hashem himself in his glory commanded it. He did not act through an envoy. Therefore it is life forever. Life forever, wherever there is strife, life is shortened. But here peace will prevail, hence they will live forever. The dew on Hermon serves no purpose, since Mount Hermon is covered with snow. But the dew that comes down upon the mountains of Zion is beneficial, for there Hashem commanded the blessing, life forever. Chapter 134. Shir Hamalo Sinei Borches Hashem, Kol Avde Hashem, Ho Only Mivez Hashem Balelos. A song of accents, behold, bless Hashem, all your servants of Hashem, who stand in the house of Hashem in the night. Having described how pleasant is the companionship of the Kohanim, the priests, the singer turns to them with a plea. Bless Hashem, all your servants of Hashem, who stand in the house of Hashem in the night. Sacrificial offerings are brought only during the daytime. Hence he asked them to bless Hashem in the night when they are not occupied offering sacrifices. He asked them to bless Hashem, for it is a primary principle that abundance on high is promoted through the actions of men below. They bless Hashem, then in response to men's prayers and good deeds, blessings of plenty should flow from on high. You servants of Hashem, who serve day and night and do not move from your watchful task, bless Hashem that He should provide for you. The previous psalm concluded with praise of the excellence of Yerushalayim and the land of Israel when the Jewish people dwell there. Here he says further that the essence of its excellence stems from the tzaddikim within the community of Israel, who are unlike the masses who rejoice over the fruits of the land. Devout and saintly individuals mainly rejoice by serving Hashem. They constantly stand watch at their post. In the night, even when men sleep, they rise to give thanks to Hashem. Thus they merit to be called servants of Hashem. Rabbi Yochanan said, those are the Talmidei Chachamim who are occupied in Torah study during the night. The Torah here compares their devotion to performing the sacred service in the Beis HaMikdash. They stand in the house of Hashem in the night, which alludes to the golus that is likened to night. In the course of the exile, the Jewish people devote themselves to Torah study and so achieve atonement for themselves, for it is as if they offered sacrifices which brings atonement. They are called servants of Hashem, for when a man subdues his natural inclination to sleep and instead rises at midnight to serve Hashem, he is called a servant of Hashem. Thus one cannot at the same time love both matters of this world and the matters of the world to come. Pasuk 2. Su'u yadeichem kodesh uvorches Hashem. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless Hashem. The Torah refers to the blessing recited by the Kohanim prior to the priestly benediction. They say, Baruch ato Hashem lakeinu melech olam, asher kitchonim b'kdushoso shel Aharon b'tzivonu levorech as amo Yisrael ba'ava. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the world, who has sanctified us with the sanctification of Aaron and commanded us to bless His people, Klal Yisrael, with love. An alternative reading of the pasuk says, lift up your hands as sanctified. When you approach to raise your hands in prayer, let your hands be sanctified. First, rectify your deeds, and only then lift your hands to deal in sacred matters. Similarly, our sages adduce from here that a cup of blessing is to be raised up at least a hand breadth. Pasuk 3. Yivarecho Hashem et Zion oseh shemayim boretz. May Hashem bless you out of Zion. He has made heaven and earth. The Kohanim, the priests, bless the Jewish people as a whole. The singer, however, says to each person individually, may Hashem bless you out of Zion. He has made heaven and earth. May He bless you with the blessing that is appropriate for you. May He bless you out of Zion, where divine abundance is concentrated. Some explain that the present pasuk refers to the Kohanim, the priests, who perform the sacred service of the twice daily Tamid offering, as well as to the watchmen who are posted around the holy Beis HaMikdash at night. Lift up your hands to bless the people, but only after you will have sanctified the hands by washing them in the water of the basin. Bless Hashem by pronouncing the benediction over washing of the hands, and only then bless his people. Say to the people, may Hashem bless you out of Zion. The end letters of the words Yivarech Hashem Mitzion spells the word Kohen, priest. This alludes to the fact that the Kohanim priest enunciated in full Hashem's name when pronouncing the blessing in the Beis HaMikdash. The present psalm begins in the plural, behold, bless Hashem, all you servants of Hashem. And it concludes in the singular, may Hashem bless you out of Zion. He has made heaven and earth. This corresponds to the pattern of the benevolent attribute. Serving Hashem is praiseworthy when done in public, but blessing affects each person individually. Our sages expound similarly on the following pasuk, and you will serve Hashem your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos, which also begins in the plural and concludes in the singular. They say, when it comes to serving Hashem, it is necessary that many perform the service, but a blessing is superior when it comes upon the head of every person individually. Chapter 135, Pasuk 1. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Hashem Hashem, hallelujah, Avdei Hashem. Hallelujah, praise the name of Hashem, praise all you servants of Hashem. Having said to the Kohanim priest, bless Hashem, all you servants of Hashem, as we learned in the previous chapter, the singer now tells them the blessing. First he says in general, hallelujah, praise Hashem. Then he says more specifically, praise the name of Hashem, with the praise set forth in the present psalm. Praise, O you servants of Hashem, with the praise set forth in the psalm immediately following the present psalm, which begins, give thanks to Hashem, for he is good. Another possible interpretation says, hallelujah, praise Hashem, is addressed generally to both the Kohanim priests and the Levim. Praise the name of Hashem is addressed to the Levim, and praise, O you servants of Hashem, is addressed to the Kohanim, the priests, who stand in the house of Hashem, in the courts of the house of our God. At times the Kohanim priests stand in the hall of the temple to offer incense offerings and to sprinkle the altar. They are then referred to as standing in the courts, the Azores sections, where they do most of their standing. That is where the altar for the burnt offerings was located. According to the second interpretation, then the singer calls to the Kohanim priests who stand in the house of Hashem, and he calls to Levim who only stand in the courts of the house of our God. They do not enter into the hall. Having concluded the previous psalm, he has made heaven and earth that were created by the name of Yah, Yudkei. The Torah begins the present psalm with Hallelujah, which alludes to the creation of the world by those two letters of his most holy name, Yudkei Vavkei. That is to say, this creation was entirely an act of loving kindness on Hashem's part, rather than for his benefit, since all the created things need the Creator, and the Creator does not need them. Behold, bless Hashem, all you servants of Hashem. You are to offer praise for having merit to be servants of Hashem, for by bringing you close to his service, he has helped you to serve him. What is more, they must praise him the most who stand in the house of Hashem in the night, for he has thus granted as their portion to be among those seated in the house of study. This explains the reason for the prayer instituted by our sages. For you have set our portion to be among those who are seated in the house of study, and you have not set our portion to be among those who are seated on street corners. Pasuk 2. Sheomdim beveis Hashem, you who stand in the house of Hashem, in the courts of the house of our God. It says in the courts of the house of our God, not and in the courts of the house of our God. This alludes to the teaching that the world to come is like a palace and this world is like a hallway, a courtyard from where one enters into the house. Thus our sages teach, rectify yourself in the hallway in order to enter the palace. Accordingly, the singer says, that the servants of Hashem, as well as those who fear Hashem and those who cherish His name, actually stand in the inner house of Hashem. That is the world to come, while still in the courts of the house of our God, this world. But even here, they find delight in intellectual and spiritual pursuits. That is what David said, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I had rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God, for by being in the courtyard, it is as if I am in the house of Hashem." Pasuk 3. Hallelujah ki tov Hashem, zamru l'shmo ki noim. Hallelujah, for Hashem is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is...